AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Still the only radio show in town with the guts to air Kate Bush as my bumper music. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Joining us right now is our Democrat of the day, representing 7B, which is a good chunk of Duluth. It's Representative Liz Olson. She's kind enough to join us today to talk about last year, the upcoming year, and her campaign. Representative, thank you very much. Nice to have you back again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. What a delight.
No, it is an absolute delight. I do want to, though, start, if I can, with a story that broke yesterday that kind of comes from your district, and just kind of get your thoughts on this. And that's that story about the young child was wearing a swimsuit that said Black Lives Matter. And she was at she wasn't in your district per se, but she was within that region at a swim meet over in Superior. Apparently one of the volunteer judges said, oh, that's not allowed, even though apparently it was, and told her that she could not swim. Needless to say, the NAACP and the YMCA both stepped up and said, no, this is legit. She can do this and wear the swimsuit. A lot of trauma there, but a lot of people questioning how a person like that could make that decision like that. It was a kind of a rough beginning of that story, but a good conclusion there. That ended up having that girl being able to swim there. And as a matter of fact, got national attention. LeBron James, apparently, I think, gave her a call on Monday to commend her for standing up for her beliefs. Just your thoughts on what happened there.
Yeah, and I think the outcome is good. I mean, it just shows how far we still have to go where that is seen as that someone clearly did something that was against the rules by telling her she couldn't wear it and stood by that. But good on her to have like the courage and tenacity to not back down. But unfortunately that she had to, right? Mm-hmm. She should have just been able to wear that straight away. But I was really glad to see the community in the form of the Duluth YMCA and the NAACP really rally around that, to say that, we're not going to tolerate that, not here. And really have her back. And so I think, again, like super unfortunate, just tells you really the state of the world we still live in, but also seeing the good in things too with how the community responded and came together, and just her tenacity and grit and willingness to stand up was pretty remarkable and, you know, really gave me chills when I heard about just her and the strength she has and the courage she has.
You know, and your district, too, I mean, they've come to grips with some ugly moments in the past. They put out some memorials to talk about that. They're not shying away from this anymore. They really do realize as Duluth grows, it is growing in a vibrant, lovely, vibrant way. And this is the kind of growth you want to have in a city. And we don't want to go back to the times where there are one set of rules for white kids and one set of rules for everyone else. And I think that, like I said, you can't, you know, it's a tough situation. The outcome is fantastic because it does show you change has happened and people are not about to sit back and accept what used to be the norm.
That's exactly right. And a lot of people didn't know. I think in recent years, it's gotten a lot more people know about it. But Duluth is a tourist town and a ton of us, you know, even as a kid, I would go there all the time. And
yeah.
People go there, but you would go to the lift bridge, you go to the canal park, you skip some rocks. But not many people ever went to the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial or the site where a lynching happened. The lynching happened in the time that, you know, my grandfather was alive during that time. That's not that long ago. And that was nothing that we talked about as a city. We swept it under the rug. We pretended to be something we weren't. And it wasn't until just recently that the community really put up that memorial and said, in order to move forward as a community, we need to acknowledge our past. And to really atone for that and really work to not be that in the future. And so it's a lot of reckoning and it's a lot of still figuring it out and it's a lot of still getting it wrong. But I think that was a really big step in the healing we need to do is to own our past, and to own that in order to have the bright future that we can have in Duluth. And I think because of that, you see the outcome being different in the case with the girl with the swimsuit and the way the community stepped up.
Yes.
And that's the community we're called to be, and I believe we can be in Duluth.
100%, and I love Duluth. I mean, it really is just a gem up there. And I've actually got to tell you the truth. This is the time of year where I kind of wonder, like, how come every person on the Iron Range inland hasn't migrated into Duluth because it's about a good 20 degrees warmer towards Duluth because of the lake right now. It doesn't get nearly as brutal as the Iron Range does. It's a nice little respite in these times.
Exactly. Like, people always want to know, what's the weather in Duluth when you're on the Zoom from home? I'm like, not nearly as cold as you all think. We've got the lake, but talk to me in June. Yeah. That's when it's not fun. Yeah, exactly.
Your committee assignments are pretty impressive. You're the vice chair of the Ways and Means, the Commerce, Finance and Policy, Housing, Finance and Policy, Workforce and Business Development, Finance and Policy, and Redistricting. Let's throw that one in there as well. With all those committees there, let's talk about some of the wins you had last session.
Yeah, so we divided legislature, budget, remote. I mean, there was a ton of obstacles really in our face as we went into the legislative session last year. And I really think we came out with some great things for Minnesotans. And in particular, yesterday at the House Ways and Means Committee, we reviewed the Select Committee on Racial Justice findings that had legislative solutions. And it was interesting to see how many of those we'd actually implemented last year, or had not implemented but passed that are being implemented. I mean, we still have a long way to go. We couldn't get the Senate GOP to agree with us on a number of things, but we really did do some big things for Minnesotans in terms of equity in some of our budgeting proposals. We had a health and human services budget that raised wages for home care workers, PCAs. We did, I could speak to a bunch of projects we did for Duluth, and there was just a lot of really good things that did come out of what could have been seen as really difficult to think you could get those kind of wins with the obstacles we had in our path.
And that's one of the tough parts. I mean, and it, you know, there was obviously you got the budget done and all that stuff. But, you know, working with the other side, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of the Democrats of the day, and a lot of them, of course, obviously not, you know, running for their first office this time. They're established senators, established representatives. And they say that, you know, it runs the gamut. Sometimes you think to yourself it's a no-brainer that the Republicans would jump on something like this, and they don't. But there are other times I've heard some really good success stories of, oh, no, people, when they found out that was the case, it actually had pretty good universal support, and they got that passed. You know, there are chances you can there, but there – and especially on what you're talking about, sometimes it is frustrating that, you know, what it seems like easy layup, no-brainer bills, that sometimes they get knocked down by that Senate.
Right. That's exactly right. And it's also knowing, you know, what's possible. And you read the situation. Like, for example, I've been carrying the Earned Sick and Safe Time legislation. That's a really hard one. The Republicans have been so wildly opposed that I knew that would be an uphill climb, and we're still beating the drum on it because it's, you know, even more urgent now, but understanding that that's got a tough uphill climb given the makeup of the legislature. But, you know, on the flip side, childcare, that's a workforce issue that happens in every district across the state.
Yes.
It's something we talk about. And so leaning in last year, I was able to do a bunch of work around that in our workforce committee and had bipartisan support and was able to get that across the finish line. So part of it is to reading the moment and leaning into the things that seem right, and to your point, being very hopeful that the Senate sees them as also good in the moment, but also knowing what's going to have an uphill climb. And of course, there's sometimes surprises in both, but you kind of also just have to know what's possible and know where to push.
As you look towards this year, what are, you know, I mean, obviously you've mentioned a few things here. What are you hoping that you can get accomplished here in the upcoming session?
Well, this is something that I just cannot believe that, you know, it's a pandemic. We're talking about workforce shortage. We're talking about all this stuff. And with the Republicans right now, just setting it up to want to do this, you know, business stuff. And it's like, we still have people in the state of Minnesota that don't have access to a single paid day off to care for themselves or their family members during a pandemic. That is crazy. You know, we don't have paid family and medical leave. We don't have all that. So for the House and myself, you know, we're really prioritizing workers. That this is, if we've learned anything, it's just that we need to do something if we're going to have a workforce that's healthy and showing up and wants to go to these jobs. It's not just about the pay. It's about everything else that keeps people, you know, what made people leave jobs during the pandemic, you know, their own safety, the safety of their family, their inability to find childcare, all of these things that we can fix and we should do something about. And the House is going to be fighting for those. We're seeing already that being teed up, though, where the Senate's number one priority is, you know, the chamber's number one priority, which is the unemployment insurance fund, to be replenishing that, which, fine, part of the conversation, I'm sure it will be, but it can't be the only part of the conversation. This is about making sure we're investing in Minnesotans, the workers, the people that have kept us alive during this pandemic, That's so important to me and so important to our House DFL caucus.
The, you know, one of the things too is, as you talk about paid time off, I was talking yesterday, our Democrat of the day, Liz Bolden. I had the Liz's on back to back. Liz Bolden down in Rochester. And we're talking about, you know, the child care as well. You know, we just went through this pandemic. I mean, health care, you know, paid time off, you know, helping, you know, on a completely different issue, but helping rural hospitals, which clearly have been exposed to be inadequate in a case of a pandemic. You know, child care, which has driven people not only in the child care issue, which is itself a dangerous one, but also it has affected the employment markets because people are leaving the employment markets because why work 40 hours a week if I'm just going to hand a check over to a daycare provider? You know, there are the complications there. It is frustrating that the Republicans look at all this and it's just, okay, back to tax cuts, back to business, corporation tax cuts, and, oh, let's you know, scream about, you know, crime in Minneapolis, and that's all their entire policy is. It's clear the last 2 years have exposed a lot of holes that need to be fixed, and we have the money to do it right now.
Absolutely. I mean, the opportunity is now. This is, like, incredible. We're in the second year of a biennium. We put together a state budget, and we still have the ability to do more good. And you're exactly right. Like, this whole tax cut, especially for corporations that we know did well during the pandemic, is just, like, ludicrous that is, like, what we would even be thinking about without thinking about, to your point, the child care shortage, the people that are struggling, that have been struggling, that are just jumping up and down, that have been, you know, are in crisis. And You're exactly right that there's such an opportunity here, and we need to be fighting for those things. And Liz Bolden is, you know, a total champion on the child care work, and being from Greater Minnesota. I mean, we have some just, like, stellar minds that have really great ideas that are engaging with the people most impacted to bring the solutions forward. And so that's exactly where we need to focus.
I would be remiss if I didn't bring up that redistricting committee that you're on. I find it hilarious, that Republican map. I don't know what they thought was going to happen. I mean, that was clearly their wish list, to basically try to gerrymander the living daylights out of Minnesota. That's not going to happen. How are you feeling that the redistricting is going to happen here in the state of Minnesota?
Well, I would say, like, I totally agree, like, the Republican map, and not only the map, but their process. There just was no process. They didn't have public engagement. They didn't really hold any, you know, noteworthy hearings that had public engagement. So, of course, if your process is not an open and one where you're actually hearing from Minnesotans and you have principles guiding you that are good governance principles, you're going to have a map that is, you know, essentially just them deciding. Which is obviously going to benefit them. So the House, with, you know, Chair Murphy, long history in the House, you know, knows what she's doing, put together, like, a really good process and put together a really good map that had good principles, that had public input, months and months of work. And so we put that out, but I just don't see it likely that we're going to get the Senate GOP to do any serious work on that with us. So I'm afraid we'll likely see the courts taking action as our way to get our map.
Well, and it should be noted that the courts are not going to look at the Republicans. And, I mean, they really radically changed a lot of the congressional districts to basically try to limit the amount of Democratic input into individual districts. The courts are not going to go along with that, to shift the third district as dramatically as they did in the second district, you know, trying to get the second district out of the metro area now. I mean, the courts are not going to go along with any of that stuff, are they?
I mean, I think that they're going to do the best. I mean, this is what is, like, so hard about our process, is when you have legislators drawing maps. So, fair and balanced maps is what we're after, and I believe the courts will deliver those, and I don't believe that what we saw from the Senate, you know, from the Republicans was any of that. Yeah. So,
considering who the this is me saying this, not you, Representative. Considering who the considering who the Republicans put in charge of that in the Senate, that wasn't coming from the Senate. I'm just going to tell you that. I was looking at their committee makeup on there. This was not. I have a feeling this might have come from someone else. That's just me, though. I'm saying that, not you. All my best on that. I hope that the redistricting goes as you kind of hope there. One last quick thing I want to ask you for your district alone, because obviously vibrant district. A lot of people love Duluth. What do you want to champion this year for Duluth?
Yeah, so there's a number of things. Continue to work child care stuff in greater Minnesota is so important. That's like one of our big priorities for our city. We have the opportunity to do some really wonderful capital investment projects for our community that we have, Spirit Mountain, the Lift Bridge, other just things that are so paramount to the success of our community that we'll have hopefully the opportunity to do with the capital investment bill. And then I'm going to keep doing my work on earned sick and safe time and other worker protections that we'll need to make sure we have a healthy and thriving workforce. Those are big priorities, as well as some work with the nurses to make sure we're keeping nurses at the bedside with the community. As a large employer of the hospitals, I obviously have a lot of nurses that live in my district that are really crying for help. And so those will be big focuses for me this session, and look forward to having good outcomes on those.
Amen on the nurses. My gosh, they're just absolute angels. Absolute angels, as we've seen. Liz for Duluth, right?
That's correct. Yep.
LizForDuluth.com. That is Liz Olson's webpage. If you'd like to find out more information, how you can make a donation or volunteer, you don't have to go up now, but you want to go up in the summer? Sure. It's a lovely time to go to Duluth. Go up to Duluth, volunteer a little bit, get some great food. It is a great food town. That town's getting a great reputation there. And just the beautiful scenery of Lake Superior. Go up there, door knock, help out her campaign. LizForDuluth.com, LizForDuluth.com. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Let's make sure we keep Liz in the house over in St. Paul. Liz Olson, Representative, thank you very much. I always love chatting with you. All my best, and anytime you want to, you come on back, okay?
Thanks so much, Matt. Really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. Liz Olson is the Democrat representing 7B and Democrat of the Day. Let's take a break. Come on back. Minnesota Coronavirus Update. When we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.